Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and today we're going to be talking with General Surgeon Dr. Tim Mayfield about colorectal cancer awareness, specifically about prevention and why regular screening starting at age 45 is so important. Before we do, I have a few announcements to share with our listeners. I want to mention two new additions to our Behavioral Health Services team. We are pleased to welcome Mary Claire Wunderlich, who is a board-certified psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She graduated from the University of Iowa in 2024 and has started full-time at Van Deest Family Health Clinic with us this week. Mary Claire will assess, diagnose, manage medications, treat, and provide therapy to patients with a variety of mental health conditions. She will be offering appointments both in person and virtually. We also have a new mental health counselor, Samantha Snowville, who will be joining our behavioral health services team. Samantha has 10 years of therapy experience and brings a full range of psychotherapy services to our clinic. She will be joining us full-time at Van Deest Family Health Clinic as of March 24th. Samantha will offer both in-person and virtual appointments as well. To schedule an appointment with either Mary Claire or Samantha, you may call Van Deest Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800. And a wonderful opportunity we have for those high school graduates graduating from any high school in Hamilton County that would like to pursue education in the medical field. Our Van Deest Medical Center Auxiliary is offering six $1,000 scholarships. Again, those who qualify are 2025 high school graduates from any of the high schools in Hamilton County, or those who are graduates and are returning to further their education in the medical field. The application can be found on our website. Go to vandeestmc.org, and the application is there. The deadline is April 15th, 2025. And then lastly, I would like to mention that the next Webster City Community Blood Drive is scheduled for next Thursday, March 13th, from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. Appointments can be made by going online at lifeservebloodcenter.org. We wish to thank the Auxiliary for organizing and hosting the blood drives and extend a huge thank you to Scooters in Webster City for serving as our corporate sponsor and donating the delicious cookies. And with that, I think we're ready to start into our program. March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Colorectal cancer is the third most commonly occurring cancer type and the second most common cause of cancer death globally. We at Van Deest Medical Center want to continue to raise awareness about the importance of screening to prevent or reduce occurrence and deaths due to colorectal cancer. The fact is that early detection through prevention and screening can make colorectal cancer highly treatable and is proven to reduce deaths caused by colorectal cancer. As I mentioned, joining us for today's program is General Surgeon Dr. Tim Mayfield. Good morning to you, Dr. Mayfield.
Good morning, Lori.
Thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Very good. For our listeners, if you would, again, share maybe just a little bit about yourself. I know you and the other surgeons started with us back around last August, and we had done a welcome program, but I think a great place to start is to share just a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Sure. Dr. Casey Joe, Dr. Dabika Bakam, and myself, we've been coming here for several months, and everyone in the facility has been very welcoming, and we've just really been enjoying the entire community. We're performing general surgery, which means surgeries mostly on the abdomen, like gallbladder surgery or hernia surgery, We do a lot of endoscopy. We do a lot of colon cancer screening with colonoscopies.
Very good. Well, such an important topic to be talking about. So I appreciate you joining us for today's program as we kick off the month of March. So let's begin with kind of just a basic anatomy as we talk about colorectal cancer and what we are specifically talking about.
Sure. So the colon is the it's the last part of the intestine. It's the large bowel, and it's much more prone to getting cancer than other places in the intestines. The colon's job is to reabsorb water from stool. So a person might notice that changes with their bowel movements or changes in abdominal pain, things like that, if they're having problems. That might be related to colon cancer.
Very good. How does colorectal cancer typically occur?
Well, colon cancer usually starts with polyps. Those polyps are just an abnormal collection of cells that may start to develop or grow without causing any symptoms. Sometimes people will think that those polyps will cause pain or bleeding, but that's not usually the case. Most people don't have any symptoms whatsoever, and that's why it's important to screen for colon cancer, even though a person doesn't have any pain or symptoms or any problems. Those polyps typically will grow slowly over time, and so that's why a colonoscopy might last. If you have a colonoscopy, you may be good for another 10 years if we don't find any polyps in there.
And that's the really good news for people to hear, that if they have that first screening colonoscopy, they could be in the clear for maybe 10 months or 10 years.
For many years, yeah.
Very good. So let's talk about who is at risk for colon cancer and what the current guidelines are for screening.
Sure. The guidelines changed a little bit recently. I think back in 2019, maybe even earlier than that, I think 2017, the American Cancer Society changed their guidelines, and the U.S. Preventive Task Force updated those, I think, in 19 to catch up. But it used to be that you turned 50, that's when you had your colonoscopy. And now we've noticed that for people above 50, those colon cancer rates are steadily declining over time. And that's because we're doing such a good job with colon cancer screening. But we noticed that for people in their 40s, colon cancer rates are actually going up from 2012 to 2024. And we're not quite sure why. We don't have anything, any one thing that we can point to that says this is the culprit for younger people developing colon cancer. But because we are noticing that younger people are developing colon cancer, that's why the American Cancer Society, the U.S. Preventive Task Force, they recommended starting at age 45 for both men and women for all races, starting at age 45 with colon cancer screening for average risk individuals. We start at 45, we go up to 75, and then between 75 and 85, we kind of individualize it. So based on your health, based off of your colon cancer screening history, then we may still want to go ahead and do another colonoscopy, but we don't need to do any colonoscopies after the age of 85 screening purposes.
Very good. And like you mentioned, if somebody has their colonoscopy, say at age 45, and it's normal, they could be good for another 10 years.
Correct.
Now, if somebody is at higher risk, mm-hmm. what is the recommendation?
Higher risk means that they're, for some reason, that person is at higher risk for developing colon cancer. And that may be because they've got some inherited disease. They may have cancer running in the family. They may have inflammatory bowel disease that puts a person at a little bit higher risk. With all those different things, with all those different conditions, there might be slightly different recommendations. So it's a good idea to go see your primary care doctor or your primary care provider and identify when's the best time for you to start getting your colon cancer screening if you are at higher risk. In general, for people who have cancer running in the family, you'd want to get screened about 10 years prior to when that first degree relative was diagnosed with colon cancer. And in general, you want to start getting colon cancer screening about 8 years after being diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. So there's a lot of different things to remember, but in general, if you think that you're at higher risk, talk with your primary care provider and they can help guide you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And for those listening, it just makes me think too, if you don't know, you know, talk with your parents, talk with your family to see what history is there so that Absolutely. You are aware for those discussions with, say, your primary care provider.
Absolutely, because it's going to be important for both your primary care provider, and I'm going to be asking you those mm-hmm. same questions the morning of the procedure. What's your family history? Do you have any symptoms right now that we need to be aware of? And that helps us to tailor our approach.
Excellent. So let's talk about how a person can potentially reduce their risk of colon cancer.
Some of the risk factors for colon cancer are some of the other risks that you might notice for poor health in general. So if you go see a doctor, they're going to tell you, stop smoking, eat healthy, don't drink so much alcohol. And those are going to be some of the same things you're going to hear to help reduce your risk for developing colon cancer. What we've noticed with research is that people who use tobacco have a higher risk of colon cancer. People who abuse alcohol have a higher risk of colon cancer. And then people who are overweight or have a diet that's heavy on processed foods, all those things can increase the risk of colon cancer. Whereas diets that have more a focus on fruits and vegetables and whole grains, those are going to be the diets that are protective. Being at a healthy weight, avoiding tobacco, and drinking a healthy amount of alcohol. Of course, abstinence is great, but one alcoholic beverage per day is still within the recommendations for the American Cancer Society.
Great information. Thank you for sharing. And it is so often with these programs, we're covering different topics, and it goes back to, you know, making those healthy lifestyle decisions and incorporating, you know, the healthy food and exercise into your regular routine. So I love that you share that, so people are hearing it from different medical professionals, and we like to think that hopefully it'll stick.
Hopefully.
Yes. So you mentioned too at the beginning of the program when we started talking that quite often colon cancer can develop without any symptoms, which is why that screening is so very important. If someone were to have some symptoms, what may they potentially be? What might those signs and symptoms be for someone to watch for that should encourage them to go to, say, their primary care provider?
Sure. So when I think about somebody who is asymptomatic, I think about my wife's grandfather, Bob. Bob ran a funeral home in Newton, Iowa, and he was of that generation where you just didn't go get colon cancer screening. You know, it's just not what a guy does. Mm-hmm. And so when they found his colon cancer, it was way too late. He had fatigue. He had some mild, kind of vague abdominal pain. He had some intermittent bleeding from his bottom. Those were some of the symptoms that Bob had. And of course, like I said, when they did find his colon cancer, it was too late for him to have any treatment. What we're trying to avoid is a situation like Bob for our patients. We're trying to figure out we're trying to find those colon cancers and when they're polyps, before they turn into cancer, when they're highly treatable, because colon cancer, when we can find it early, we can prevent it from happening if we find it when it's polyps. But if we find it when it's early and we treat it, there's a 90% survival for early stage colon cancer. So again, a screening is the best, but whenever you have worrisome symptoms, you know, I think about Bob, fatigue, some mild nausea maybe, some changes in the bowel movement, skinnier stools, changes in the bowel movement meaning constipation or diarrhea, but skinnier stools, maybe some blood in the stool, but it may just be kind of a vague being tired and maybe some vague abdominal pain from time to time. Those might be the only things that you come across.
So again, we want people not to overlook some of those symptoms if they would be having them. I think what's best is for people to know their bodies and pay attention to changes, what's going on, what they're feeling. So I appreciate you sharing that because it's very relatable for people to hear that. So thank you so much. And it's a perfect lead-in to talk about screening options. So there are some different options that are available. Let's talk about those. And Sure. Then let's talk about really the gold standard Sure. Screening test.
Absolutely. Watching television, you probably noticed ads for Cologuard. It's the little box that you put your stool in, send it to somebody, they look at it. And what we're looking for with Cologuard is it's a great test that looks for both blood in the stool and it's looking for the DNA that's shed by either polyps or tumors. There's some other older tests on the market that only look at blood. The oldest tests are not very good. They find blood, but it's not very specific. We've developed those a little bit better so that we can find some more blood that's more specific for the colon, but all those tests, they're not as great. Cologuard is a very good test. And I think about Cologuard as being for those people like Bob that are just not gonna have their colonoscopy. Then a lot of times they can be talked into doing a Cologuard because it's a little bit easier to do. Some of the newer tests that are out that just got approved by the FDA in the past year are blood tests called Cola Health is it's being marketed as Cola Health. It's a blood test that looks for methylation in the DNA that's in colon cancers. So it's a test that you don't even have to put stool into a box. You just get a blood test like you're looking for your cholesterol or your glucose numbers. It can be done at your primary provider's office. That one is a brand new test, and it's not, it has gotten FDA approval, but it's not been approved by U.S. Preventive Task Force, so it may not be covered by your insurance just yet. That one also has a risk of having false positives. So if it comes back positive, you'll need to get a colonoscopy, and that colonoscopy may not find any problems. One of the other problems with both the Cologuard, the stool-based test, and the blood-based test are that they are pretty good at finding cancers, but they're not very good at finding those polyps. And the polyps are really where we have the biggest chance to intervene because polyps are not cancers yet. They're what we kind of identify as this will turn into a cancer or could turn into a cancer over time. So if we remove it, we can prevent cancer from happening. So that's why a colonoscopy is the gold standard. Colonoscopy is a procedure where we take a television camera, we go through the entire colon searching for those polyps, and a person is sedated the entire time, kept comfortable the entire time. The procedure takes about 30 minutes, give or take. And then there's about a half an hour to an hour of recovery. It is an invasive procedure, so it's a little bit higher risk than the stool-based or the blood-based exams, but it's much better at identifying polyps, removing polyps, and preventing cancer. It's very good at identifying cancers. And again, our goal is to either take off a polyp and remove that polyp to prevent cancer from happening or identify cancer when it's early so that we can intervene and have a high success rate with that.
Excellent. And I mean, I think that's the part that we want listeners to hear is, you know, what the procedure is about and so that they can make informed decisions. They have made such improvements in the prep for a colonoscopy. So maybe talk about what that looks like.
There's multiple different options for the prep. I think that the prep, you're right, they've made a lot of improvements, but I think that it's always going to be universally accepted that the prep is the worst part of this procedure.
Right.
So the prep, there's the gallon of Go Lightly that you drink over the course of several hours. There are some newer lower volume based preps. That's 16 ounces of prep with 32 ounces of water, and then a few hours later you do that again. So it's still quite a bit of liquid, but as far as prep, it's only about 32 total ounces of prep. There are some pill-based formulations, so if you're a person who can take pills, that might be a good option. It's around 24 total pills that you have to get down over the course of somewhere around 4 hours. So it's a lot of pills. It's a lot of water that you have to drink, but that is another option. And then there are other options that are that kind of leverage some over-the-counter things like Miralax and some Dulcolox tabs that you can get at a pharmacy without a prescription. Of course, with those, you want to make sure that you're drinking lots of water or Gatorade. That helps to keep those electrolytes balanced and helps to kind of clean out that system. And the goal with the prep, is to clean out the bowel. We have to clean out all that stool so we can get a good look on the inside and see those small polyps. Sometimes polyps can be 3 to 5 millimeters in size, with a quarter of an inch or smaller. So when we're looking for really small things like that, we need to make sure that all that stool is out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So for time frame, from the time, say, a person takes the prep and then has their procedure done the next day, what would somebody be looking at, approximate time frame?
Typically, we tell people to start their prep in the afternoon, the day before the procedure. So starting somewhere in the afternoon, and then the next morning coming in and having that procedure. And we usually like to do procedures in the mornings because we don't want people fasting for, 24 hours or longer. So have that procedure in the morning. You're usually going to be out of the 30-minute procedure and then about an hour of recovery. So you're going to be out of the hospital after about 2 to 3 hours. And then with the sedation that we use here, The anesthetists here at Van Deese Medical Center do a fantastic job of keeping people comfortable, but it's a quick on, quick off medication that keeps you fully sedated. You're not waking up in the middle, and you're feeling pretty good in the afternoon. So there may be a few hours of grogginess, but typically by the afternoon, a person is feeling comfortable. We still warn people, please do not drive or make big decisions the day of their procedure because they may not remember it. But then the next day, I usually tell people they can go back to doing whatever they want to do with no restrictions.
Very good. So a person could be looking at, if they're working, taking one day off work, and that would be for the actual day of the procedure and then recovery time.
Correct. There's a little bit of work that goes into it. We ask that people avoid things that tend to stick around in the colon, and we're in Iowa, so specifically corn. Avoid corn for about a week before the procedure. Clear liquids only the entire day before your procedure, but absolutely you can go to work the day before your procedure enjoying clear liquids only, and then start your prep when you get home from work. And you might need to take off maybe just a few hours in the afternoon so you can get home and start doing that prep. You will definitely want to be at home wearing some comfortable clothes close to a restroom the entire time you're doing that prep. But taking one day off of work is really what most people need.
Excellent. Gosh. Any other things? We talked about this a little bit with signs and symptoms, but any other triggers that patients should cause them to seek care from a medical professional?
The biggest thing that I think of is bleeding from your bottom. A lot of times people will notice a little bit of bleeding. It doesn't really hurt. It only happens every once in a while. And a lot of people will kind of chalk that up to hemorrhoids. I would encourage people to get that checked out, talk about that with their primary care provider whenever they notice gastrointestinal bleeding. Vague abdominal pain that persists for a few weeks, I'd encourage you to get that checked out. And any changes with your bowel movements that tend to persist for a while. Changes in the bowel movements, meaning your bowel movements had been fairly regular, and now they're looser than they were, or now they're skinnier, smaller caliber than they used to be, or now you have constipation. Those are all things that I would, after a few weeks, I would have a conversation with my primary care provider about those things. One other big one is weight loss. Unexplained weight loss is kind of a red flag for a lot of healthcare providers. And specifically when we're talking about colorectal cancer, weight loss, unexplained weight loss can be one of the first signs.
Very good. Excellent information. Again, thank you, Dr. Mayfield. So if someone knows they're at this prime time, they need to schedule their colonoscopy, where would we direct them?
Good place to start is with your primary care provider. Talk with them, and they can get you linked with doing a colonoscopy or having that conversation about which type of screening test is going to be the best for them. And when it comes time to screen, to actually schedule that screening colonoscopy, either talking with the primary care provider or calling us here at the Van Deese Medical Center, and we can help set that up.
Perfect. So I do want to mention Dr. Mayfield does colonoscopies, as does Dr. Dabka-Bakam and Dr. Casey Joe. They all do colonoscopies at Van Deese Medical Center.
Absolutely.
Again, you could talk with your primary care provider about scheduling a colonoscopy, getting a referral to the surgery department.
Correct.
Or if you have questions, you could contact the surgery department here at the hospital. The number is 515-832-7746. And I know we're scheduling colonoscopies out. We're probably at least a month out at this time. So I do want to mention that to our listeners. If this is a program that's just got you thinking, yes, I need to do this, know that it may take a few weeks to get scheduled. So start the process now and give this gift to yourself, and you could be in the clear, hopefully, for 10 years.
That's what we're hoping for. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Any last comments you wish to share, Dr. Mayfield?
I really appreciate our conversation, Lori. Thank you very much for this time.
Thank you for being here on the show with us. Such an important topic to be talking about, colorectal cancer awareness. And again, you heard from Dr. Mayfield, really the gold standard is the colonoscopy, and we do those here at Van Deese Medical Center. Again, if you have questions for our surgery department, you can call 515-832-7746. Thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.